Hello, hello. Testing.
All right, I think we can begin. I can declare this meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel open. In doing so, on behalf of the Council, I acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the Eora Nation on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Next item is declarations of interest. Declarations of interest forms have been signed by each member of the panel, and there are no declarations of interest to declare. It's appropriate that we introduce ourselves at the start of this meeting. I'll go first. I am David Lloyd. I not only chair this panel, but also a number of other panels. I'm a lawyer, I'm a QC, I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court, I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. I am currently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. Ms. Tuor.
My name is Annalise Tuor. I have qualifications in architecture planning and dispute resolution. I'm formerly a commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm now on a number of panels.
Mr. Stapleton.
Ian Stapleton. I'm an architect of 40 years' experience with a speciality in heritage. I've got some qualifications in planning law, and I sit on a number of other local planning panels.
I'm Kath Roach. I'm from a company called Sync Solutions, which is my company, a small firm that works with a lot of councils across New South Wales. My original involvement in planning was as the internal ombudsman at Sutherland Shire Council a number of years ago. Over the past 12 years, I've worked with probably 80, 85 councils in New South Wales. On this particular committee, I'm on a number of committees, but this particular committee, I'm here as a community rep.
I can advise that earlier today, the panel inspected the site of each of these two planning proposals. We are familiar with the location of each site. We are familiar with what is proposed in each case. So with that, we can move straight on to item number one, the planning proposal for 36 Lonsdale Street and the City West Link. We have noticed that there are two people who wish to address us on this, Mr. Ravick, the architect, and Mr. Barwick, the planner. Who wants to go first?
Do that. I'll start again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Scott Barwick of SJB Planning. We prepared the planning proposal submission in conjunction with Mr. Raithby to my right. Firstly, thank you for the panel and the opportunity to speak to you. Obviously, we're pleased that there's a recommendation before you to endorse a recommendation to Council to proceed with the planning proposal to Gateway. There are only three issues I would like to address, and that is confined essentially to the recommendations, and that relates to the proposal is recommending a 1.5 to 1 FSR, which seems to be an arbitrary number. Understand through the assessment and reading the assessment that Council had some concerns with the interface. I accept that, and that would be a concern. But it's suggested that instead of imposing an arbitrary 1.5 to 1 now, that the condition, and I have some suggested wording which I will get to, provide some flexibility in terms of after the gateway determination and prior to a exhibition, that through the urban design analysis, a FSR be arrived at. The second issue is that the recommendation is suggesting that there be a phase two contamination report. I just note that the land is already zoned residential. There is no change of land use. Therefore, and so no additional uses are becoming permitted. Therefore, clause 6 of SEP 55 is not triggered as there is no change of land use required. The provisions of clause 7 of SEP 55 would remain in place if there was a concern over contamination. When and if a development application is lodged, it would be entirely appropriate at that stage for council to ask for further contamination investigation. The third and final point is there's a recommendation requesting an acid sulphate soil management plan. Again, the Leichhardt LEP at clause 6.1 already contains management regime and requirements It's identified that there are certain acid sulphate soil lands. This is a planning proposal. There are no works proposed. And the LEP specifically says at 6.1 subclause 3, development consent must not be granted under this clause for carrying out of works unless an acid sulphate management plan is considered by council. So it seems a little bit way up front when there's no works proposed, there's no disturbance to the soil arising from this planning proposal to be requiring an acid sulphate soils management plan, because there is no application and no basement, no excavation upon which to base the plan. It's appropriate that council's existing legislative requirements at 6.1 operate at the time of a DA. Therefore, my request is that the panel recommend to the council the deletion of items 2C and 2F. 2C relates to the remediation, and 2F relates to the acid sulphate soils management plan. And in relation to item 1A, a suggested way forward would be that 1A read that the recommendation is amending the floor space ratio map, sheet FSR 004, to reflect an FSR of between 1.5 to 1 and 2 to 1, and the removal of the site area from Area 6, with an addendum saying the final FSR to be exhibited post-gateway determination will be determined via detailed urban design modelling, responding to the assessment by council staff in the attached report. This detailed modelling will also inform the preparation of the required draft development control plan required to be prepared as a condition of gateway determination. And I have that wording if it's going to be of assistance for consideration.
Would you just wait there while we hear from Mr. Raithby, because the panel, I think, will have some questions of both of you when you've finished addressing.
Yes, hello, Derek Raithby, architect, registered architect. Scott has covered primarily the main issues. The only aspects that I would like to cover or bring to the attention of the panel is that effectively in the report, council's urban planner has provided a framework on what would be a suitable form. The issues that the distinction between these, so the 1.5 has been chosen as a figure, is vastly different to the actual diagram that is provided by council's urban planner. So effectively the amount that is proposed to be taken off our proposal equates to two levels, and what is being proposed as a suitable form is only a reduction of one level. So I think there is quite a big contrast. The other point as well is the interface on Russell Street. Again, council are proposing, or the urban planner is proposing, a reduced form or a transitional form to a single story forms. And the clarification I would like to provide to the panel is that adjoining to these single-storey houses is a newer development that is actually four storeys in height. So there is in this planning proposal, council are prescribing a reduction in form to down to two storeys when there is, in the same elevation, there is a four-storey height form. So I think there is a conflict in what is being proposed in a reduction of stories and heights and bulk and form. And yeah, so those are the only two points. In terms of the interfaces, and this is an important factor, and the transitions to these surrounding structures, so I think that this 1.5 is an arbitrary number that is picked, and it doesn't represent accurately what would be or what could be a suitable reduced form. The one last thing is that in my view, the adjoining site, which is an appropriate form, the site Catherine Street, 402 Catherine Street, was approved, and it's contained in the report that it is 1.75. That site, like our site, is right next to the light rail station. 1.75 is a suitable form, is a suitable size of for the site. And so there is no... And I know that if, with further modelling, as Scott has suggested, that a form representing the same shape that council is proposing would be more in line with 1.75. So I'm quite confident that that council's concerns can be addressed by further modelling, and these issues can be resolved around an appropriate form of FSR to the site. That's all.
All right. We will have some questions for you. Mr. Barwick, your objection to the acid sulphate soils study requirement is presumably based upon the fact that you're going to utilise the existing building.
Mr. Chair, the concern over the acid sulphate soil study is that typically you undertake an acid sulphate soil study assessing an application when you know what level of excavation there is going to be, what the level of intervention to the site is. My problem is that I could only be able to have a theoretical acid sulphate soil management plan, which would be totally useless when I then lodged a development application where I know what the footings are going to be, I know what the level of site disturbance is going to be, which is at DA stage. And my suggestion is that the LEP already says that if you're identified in an acid sulphate soil zone, council cannot grant consent unless it has considered an acid sulphate soil management plan at that time. It's just duplicating work, and the work of the acid sulphate soil at this stage is meaningless because it's about a theoretical development.
Just a question for me. Where you're saying the interface, in essence, is four-storey, you're talking about the IGA site there. Is that where you're referring to in relation to your... Right.
Terraces.
Yep.
A row of terraces. And that is four stories.
Yep.
So it's predominantly further on than three stories. But the council's buying is reducing the bulk of form down to two stories.
Yep.
I think, regardless of four stories, a three story form is better to be involved, and that's what we've proposed for the transition.
Yep. The drawing that you're pointing at there, or the picture there, is further up the street, and obviously you've got a lot of topography and slope from the land up to that. I would say, I guess, three or four lots at least in between, correct?
Yes.
Yep. And in terms of the lot right beside, on Russell Street, right beside the property that you're looking at, is a one-storey residential building?
True, yes.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
So in relation to your floor space ratio, you've got calculations. I think it's on diagram GFA, drawing number 14. And they, when you look at the calcs, seem to put forward an FSR of 1.99 as to 1. But a certain amount of the corridors and don't seem to be included in as GFA. So... presumably, if they would, that would be, the bulk would be closer to the 2.15 that you're proposing. Is that?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I do tend to agree with you there. One of our cases that was before the Land Environment Commission established rules around open walkways in Waterloo, and that's since been, in terms of, that has since been qualified in other cases, where it's only open to the area which is only open to elements can be excluded. So, yes, you're probably right, there are elements there which are fully covered and enclosed which could be increased, yes.
I guess, through you, Mr. Chair, the proposition is saying, well, the planning proposal requested 2.15, understand council has concerns and council urban designer put forward alternatives. Instead of just an arbitrary 1.5 to 1, because it's clearly been accepted that the site is capable of more intense development and it's well-located, serviced and the like, instead of just a 1.5, which seems to be very arbitrary, at least if there's an opportunity for refinement and the to and fro with those sorts of issues in terms of what is and what isn't out, and that at least when it comes down to it and a planning proposal is placed on exhibition, assuming gateway determination is granted, that the FSR that's put forward for comment is based on some actual science and rigour, I guess, is where we're coming from.
From an urban design point of view, are you okay with stepping your built form up from the rear to the front, as it were?
We have two towers, effectively, and a podium level. The on the side, which is on the Lonsdale side, we have extensively tested that. At the moment, there is a existing warehouse. That warehouse has a large wall. There is no increase from that section. So in terms of the stepping down, there is no additional impacts from that portion. I accept that the other tower, that potentially there is there is potential impacts from the other tower. So you're probably right. That's on the Russell Street side. So yes, I would say that to if in terms of reducing the FSR, if a level was reduced, then that would go a long way in terms of removing that that overshadowing impact, any potential overshadowing impact. But that's one level, not two levels.
So at the moment, the recommendation that's before us, which is on page 2 of the planning report, Part 1C says about amending the key sites map to add the site as a key site 7, and D, adding a site-specific clause in Part 6 including the things that are outlined in this report, which is on page 19 of the report. So you've already commented on you don't think it should be only two stories to the south, but are there other aspects in those site-specific controls that you've got concerns with? In particular, it's proposing a 3-metre setback to the north along City West and 4 metres to each frontage.
In terms of the setbacks, I think they're appropriate. That they're able to be accommodated. I think if it's prudent, it could be that we include that 1D also be informed potentially by that detailed massing that I'm suggesting in my recommendation. Excuse me, run out of breath there. But in terms of the recipe, if you like, that council staff and the urban designer is broadly looking at in terms of a probable reduction of one level and introducing some of the setbacks, I think that's fine. And to be clear, it's the kind of thing we would have expected anyway once we got to the DA stage, because there's going to be a lot of interrogation in terms of ensuring that impacts of privacy and solar access to adjoining properties are to council standards. And clearly, if it was a circumstance where a proposal's put forward that it failed against those decisions, those requirements, then you'd expect that you get a refusal for your development application. So that massaging and manipulation of the building to manage those interface impacts is something that we would absolutely expect out of a 4.15 assessment process anyway.
So you're not wedded to the retention of the existing building facade on Lonsdale Street?
I think it would be desirable to do so. I think it provides a lot of... it sort of retains that character of you know, and a little bit of a nod to the history of the area. I think it also becomes quite a good defensive structure future development to use in terms of managing the road noise and that interface. And it also, just by retaining that, it forces you into the Russell Street and the cul-de-sac as your activation points anyway. So I think in terms of the character and the type of development you'd like to see happen there, I think the retention of the building's more likely rather than not.
And so the provision of non-residential uses on ground level along the City West link, do you have any comments on what would be able to be achieved in terms of non-residential uses there?
Through you, Mr. Chair. Look, I didn't raise it, but I have a problem with live-work, because what does that mean? It's not a defined term anywhere. I'm sort of sick of the circumstances where I come across issues where things are approved in areas which don't allow residential and they're turned as live-work and they just live-live. I think let the assessment process do its thing. It's already zoned residential. There's no restriction on what uses you can and can't have at ground level. If the provisions of the interim guidelines for development adjacent to noisy road corridors say that you just fail, well, that wall could be used for a veneer of above ground parking, which is behind the wall that you retain, and your apartments are set in behind it. I think arbitrarily saying that great big run of the street front should be live work is just not accepting the fact that it's already zoned residential. There's no impetus for office or business retailers to go there. There's going to be absolutely no foot traffic. I think leave the design that little bit of flexibility to work with the acoustic, work with the vibration to come up with the solution, rather than also then having an arbitrary, oh, and some of it's got to be live-work or non-residential.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the counter-argument to that is that it actually, yes, it is zoned residential at the moment, but I think clearly the ground level of along the City West Link, it's unsuitable for use as residential. So you'd have to ensure that, you know, whatever, that a use that can go there, if it were to be a use that wasn't permissible in the existing residential zone, gets incorporated now, because the live-work, I think, isn't actually a permissible use. So it would have to be amended, or yeah, what's the, yeah, keep in mind some sort of alternative so that
sorry.
We know.
I mean, obviously, the R1 general residential zone is quite broad, and there are non-residential uses that, you know, there's still neighbourhood shops, and you could still have home occupations and home industries and things like that would certainly be uses that are permitted. But I tend to think it's probably going to be more the way you locate, and, you know, do you put down there the body corporate rooms? Do you put down there some common facilities which aren't subject to noise sensitive, if you like, but provide amenity and facilities for the future residents?
I have to say, looking at the concept plans that you've provided, there are 18 apartments which solely face on to the City West Link, and the internal amenity of those apartments is poor. For that reason, we have suggested that future apartments be oriented to Lonsdale Street and Russell Street, not to the City West Link. Are you comfortable with that?
Look, I accept that that's a requirement. And I accept it's also possibly an outcome. And I would note that we're not seeking approval for this layout. It's a concept in terms of trying to work out what you can get on the site, potentially. Then there's going to be the whole 4.15 layer. Having it all not facing the City West Link, there is going to be a point where the elevation is going to be a mitigating factor in terms of the noise, and I'm mindful that that is also my northerly aspect where my best sunlight is. So I have to be able to juggle that, because if I'm having to provide totally side walls, if you like, to apartments to the City West Link, I'm going to get in trouble with council's assessing officers over getting my 70% solar access. So I'm mindful that there might be the ground first floor, possibly even the second floor level. It's going to be all determined once the acoustic testing's done at DA stage, that you might have to turn your back, but there might also be a point where you're high enough and set back enough that you are above the noise and you're then able to take advantage of that northerly aspect.
If I may just make a very quick point, we have actually had an application in the past where, unfortunately, we didn't have Scott as a planner then, but the acoustics have been tested, and similar to the scenarios along Parramatta Road. I mean, often you see there that the what is required is balconies that have glass louvers, that so the barrier is provided at the balcony edge phase, and there's no reason, you know, there's no reason why that can't be a suitable solution.
There are, of course, solutions to this problem.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You've mentioned one, but there are also others.
Others.
But it seems to me that you're limited in your approach here by retaining the existing building, which has no particular merit at all. It is not a heritage building. It has no architectural merit. It's a grotty industrial building of no value whatsoever. Why not knock the thing down and start with a clean sheet of paper?
Initially, we did start off in that format. It was only at council's direction that we've retained it.
excuse me. The council's officer's recommendation suggests that the proponent would be happy to draft the new DCP. Are you okay with that?
Through you, Mr. Chair. We would absolutely expect that would have been a requirement for a site-specific DCP, and we've indicated all along that we would be willing to do that as a condition of the gateway determination. And again, why I guess I'm suggesting my amendment to Condition 1A is I think that between gateway and exhibition, there's that opportunity to work through the what's the FSR, and that work could also inform the DCP that is required to be prepared.
One final question. Thanks for that. One final question is, you mentioned possibly if the existing old buildings were kept, they provided some sort of screen or barrier. And you've also suggested perhaps behind that screen or barrier you might put parking, which might be the only use that's useful, that is viable so close to the highway. Any comments?
I mean, I think it's a design exercise, but I guess having that retained wall, and I sort of think there is a little, you know, once you take all the grot off it, those things can have some nice bones to them, and it's a nice reflection and an echo of the heritage of the history of the site. And if you're able to use that as I said, a veneer of car parking behind it, it's behind, it's out of sight, but you've used up those areas that if Ms. Tor's concerns in terms of vibration and the amenity of those ground floor apartments is such that you just can't achieve an appropriate level of amenity, then it becomes a possibly a good alternate use for it.
I just noticed on the IGA development, they've closed up and blocked off almost every opening that is near the highway, and you enter IGA right down a side street, and it appears that it's become, well, at least those operators didn't want to use any of the openings near the street.
That's correct, and because the tenancy in the IGA it's one large tenancy, and they bring all of their pedestrian traffic in off Catherine Street, not too far from the access ramp into the car park. And as I said, that was my concern in terms of trying to find non-residential uses. There's just no foot traffic because, let's face it, it's not a very attractive environment for pedestrians to be there because it's quite harsh. I mean, I've probably driven past that site for the last 15 years, and I probably don't remember the last time I saw someone walking past it.
You've suggested a few changes to the recommendation. You've written your suggested changes out. We have to discuss them. Could we have that? And we'll go out and discuss this and come back shortly with a determination.
And I've picked up my own error. I said 1C, it's actually 1D, relates to, and I've hand-marked that on the page.
Thank you.
You don't want it to be on the next
they can wait. I'll leave that one there.
Yeah. Thank you. Because there's always
with the new shops that are
not even
smoke.
harder and harder and harder, and then people disincentivize the currents, so what do they do? They get it somewhere.
There are places that are easier to deploy.
You've got a wire up there in the street. It's serviceable. That's what I'm saying. Why would
they live in the light rail? I don't believe it. I never came to the place.
It's way more popular than
the light rail. Actually, I can walk to the light rail at the same time as the light rail.
Now, the light rail is very popular. Okay, so it works. From Hamfield, Hawthorne. And I know there's people using it. Anyone work there? People using it?
Yeah.
Kids are using it.
It's way oversubscribed.
It's not good, is it? It's not good. But again, this station here, no one comes to North Street.
Not really, no.
It's too far. That's what it's called for.
Sorry? If you were down at Grappa, and that's all in North Street.
You don't come over.
I'm not talking about coming down here, but you would use it. If you had Brady Booming, really wants to have
those
restaurants.
Because
he's got that part of the shop, he's up there. Yeah, that's right. That's only 100 metres away. This feels like it.
Because there's this dense underneath,
yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah.
The Memorial Park actually push off because it's like that dark or something.
Yeah, we're putting it right
in the four bodies still.
Putting it right in the city west level too is not very nice.
There's more stations in front of locations like that one in the corridors.
Well, it's on their way, isn't it?
Yeah, that's corridors, so front
yeah.
Of the
country. It's like
that.
It's easy.
Sweden, not this though. We used to find